Welcome to the Dwizzle Nation podcast, discussing music, movies, sports, and pop culture.
Hi, what's up, y'all? This is our first recording of the Dwizzle Nation podcast. We're going to title this episode, Let's See How Long This Lasts. I'm here with my co-host, DJ Tito, out of Houston. Also co-hosting is MCD Medi. I'm your host, Dwizzle. What up, people?
It's good.
If you want to say I'm from Houston, what it do?
Oh, what it do, Homer Slim Thug. And full disclosure, we are all related. This is my big sister's two boys. The DJ, originally from Nassau, Elmont High School.
Oh.
Yeah, we're doing some introductions here.
Not by choice.
And then my sister's baby boy, the MC, the connoisseur of lyrical hip-hop.
We got
D Medi. Hey fellas, why don't you other than the introductions that I gave about you guys, tell us a little something about yourselves as it pertains to this music stuff right now we're going to discuss.
D Medi.
All right, I'll go first. So I've been doing music, writing, performing hip hop, composing beats for forever now, for close to 14-15 years. I'm doing my thing on there. I loved hip hop ever since I was a kid. It's something I definitely gravitated towards. Thanks in part to you two guys. You two guys are definitely a big inspiration for that. And you know, I'm excited to be here.
Oh, glad to have you here, DJ Tito. Tell us a little something about yourself.
My name is DJ Tito, also known as Tito. A DJ on the side. I have a little small mobile DJing company out here in Houston, Texas. I do a lot of private events, a lot of weddings. I love DJing ever since I can remember. And I love hip hop. I follow everything hip hop, even the new hip hop.
All right, now Tito, let me ask you a question. When you first started listening to music, were you initially a fan of hip hop music?
I would say yes, because I mean, where I grew up in the Bronx, I mean, it was kind of like that's what was in. I mean, yes, I'm Dominican, you know, parents, a lot of merengue and stuff like that. But I guess the very first time I kind of fell in love with hip hop, I would say when Illmatic dropped. So this was back when you would get your CDs from Columbia House. So when they were bamboozling people into these memberships and you. But Illmatic was, I mean, I listened to it before that. And of course, you know, having an uncle that used to have a boombox, you know, being outside and stuff, listening to hip hop. But when I could say I start.
Hey, where'd y'all go? Yo. Hold on a second. We lost a little connection. I lost my peoples here. Medina. Hey. Yeah. Okay. No, we got you back. I don't know what happened there. Well, hopefully we'll edit that out. but you mentioned the whole listening to the music and you know, with the uncle with the boombox outside, being from the Bronx, the home of hip-hop. Let's keep it real, let's keep it straight, let's keep it honest, right?
So
we're here to discuss the different aspects of music that we listen to. We're gonna see how D Medi being the rapper, being the connoisseur of lyricals, you know, and all aspects of hip hop, putting the music together. He's been doing that for 15 years. He's never sold out his principles. My man still buys music from artists that he supports. That means he pays directly. Okay. Also, he just recently came out with an EP. Daniel, plug the ET. ET, the EP.
Thank you. So I recently dropped the Hindsight EP, which is an EP, a collection of 5 songs that I released on October the 5th, which also happens to be my birthday. So there's a lot of conscious lyrical content on there, just kind of talking about like my state of mind, my state of being, and also kind of how I feel about what's going on in the world around me. So.
Okay. Now, DJ Tito, you come from a different aspect of the hip-hop music. You have to sometimes play music that you're not necessarily fond of. Is there some truth or validity to what I just said?
Yeah, but that's probably changed over the last probably, I would say like 4 years. I mean, I was one of those dudes that when this whole trap sound came out, and especially Drake, I've changed my stance on Drake. I was very critical of him at first because
why?
I don't think I think I put too much emphasis on what I thought hip hop was on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think him as an artist, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say this, by the time it's all said and done, he's going to be one of the greats. The run that kid has, I don't see him, I don't even see him slowing down like anytime soon. Yeah, if you look at the albums and what he puts out, not to say that I like all his music, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the hits, yo, it's almost like infectious. It's like it's almost like COVID. Like if you're exposed to it, you're gonna catch it. Like what he puts out, kid, is just like, even when I was in the club, when I was trying to deny him and block him out, and part of my beef with him was, I was like, are you a rapper or are you a singer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot deny that dude makes, his music is fire.
He makes sense. He definitely makes sense.
Fire, and his producer, 40, fire. They make some, they nice. His whole camp is nice.
Okay.
But I do, as a DJ, yes, I play everything. Because I have to, right? I have to cater to the crowds that I'm DJing for or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've come to accept hip-hop for what it is. So, especially with all this trap sound, I'm not really listening to it for that lyrical content as I was listening to a Common or a Nas. I take the music for what it is. If it's just a party and to talk crap or whatever and just to laugh at some bars, I'll do that, right? But when I want to listen to that lyrical, I can go to the KRSs, I can go to the Kool G Raps, I can go to the early Styles P, which is one of my favorite rappers. You know, if I want to listen to that type of content. But as far as Migos and who else would you say? Now that I probably listen, the Moneybagg Yo's and stuff like that. The production is tight. They may not really be talking about what I like, or their cadence might not be favorable to what I consider good hip hop. But I just take the music for what it is.
Okay, that's a similar approach that I've recently started taking to music. I have a friend who used to be a vice principal at John F. Kennedy High School. She was the head of the English department, okay? And she conducted a little social experiment. Now, what she did was she took a collection of poems from different poets from different eras. Yes. I mean, ancient Greeks, Shakespeare's era. I mean, she went through the whole gambit, right? She put a collection of books, kind of like a little anthology book, and she gave it to her students. Okay. Mm-hmm. She also gave it, being the head of the English department, she gave it to her staff. She said that it was universally accepted by everyone, that it was awesome, that it, you know, it was great reading for the materials. But what she did was she left out the names of the authors.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
So there's no bias.
So there's no bias, so that, you know, so the kids judge the books based on what they read. Same thing with the English department. They love the idea. Like some of the poems they recognized, others they didn't. But they loved them. And one in particular artist they liked, she started revealing the names of the artists. And one of the artists that they liked the most was Tupac Shakur. When they found out that it was Tupac, these women or teachers lost their fucking mind. Who are you? Why the fuck do you have this guy in this book? Da 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 da. What are your credentials? She was like, bitch, what the fuck are your credentials? I'm the head of your department. I'm your boss. You know what I mean? Because she fast tracked it through the principal program to actually become a vice principal in the schools. So they objected to it, and it proved her social experiment. Mm. The experiment being is that music is made great by the contemporaries who have to listen to, or excuse me, in this case, poetry. Mm. It's like my generation will love Run DMC and LL Cool J and all these other guys. But right. The people growing up now, they not feeling them that way. And there's nothing wrong with that. Listen, I'm one who subscribes to the fact that if you're going to be a rapper, you need to be good at your craft. Okay. And what I was having a problem with is that, and I've never heard a Lil Yachty song for more than 20 seconds, but, but this dude came out and said, oh, I don't have to be a good rapper. All I need to do is get a hot track and say some words on it or something to that effect.
He's honestly very
1,000,000% correct.
Yeah, he's right.
Sad, but true.
It is sad. But so then the artists are the producers, because you could get any old clown off the street to go say, hell, I get a hot track and have my daughters kick a rhyme and shit. You know what I mean? And that's a shame. That's a shame. And like I said, that there's an artistry and there's a skill to putting lyrics together. Like, I even got to give Drake credit for what he does, and I've come around on Drake, you know. So that's what I feel when it comes to that. When it comes to this game of hip hop, like I'm stuck in my ways. I started listening to a lot of underground hip hop because I didn't like the stuff that was coming out. So you guys know I started fucking around with Jedi Mind Tricks, Immortal Technique. Those guys got.
Vinny Paz
from the Jedi Mind Tricks, but those dudes can skip spit, and that's what I liked about their shit. And it had content, it had meaning, had understanding, okay. But like I said, and I wasn't coming around on dudes like Drake, but once I gave him a chance, that dude is he's there, man. He is definitely one of the greats, man. You can't take that away from him.
I think real quick. So I think it has to do with this generation too, right? So we're in a generation of social media where everything is in your face and people can pretty much do an EP overnight and put the shit on iTunes and you can just go to it, right? So I was having this argument with my dad the other day because he's old school. You know, my dad's 70 and he was talking shit about...
God bless to Raphael 1.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So he was talking shit about Bad Bunny and Omega, right?
Yeah.
But I said, you have to understand, these dudes are not making music for you. You are not buying concert tickets. You're not buying their album. You're not streaming, okay? And you're not buying their merch. The way, when you become an artist today, especially all these A&Rs, they're looking at you beyond your music. They're looking at how you look, how you're going to appeal to girls, how you're going to appeal to the LGBT community, how much merch can we get from him? Where is he? What story does he have to tell? Has he been shot? What's his arrest record? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's where they get into the 360 deals.
Exactly. Has he said anything raunchy in the past that we can spin to make some noise, to create some buzz? So the game is a lot different than what it was back in the day. You understand what I'm saying? So, again, I listen to music. I listen to music based off of my mood, right? So I never told anybody this, but whenever I get extremely pissed off at work or I'm in, like, something pissed me off, there's an album that I listen to every... Only one other person knows this. Every time I listen to this, Styles P, A Gangsta and a Gentleman. Mm. That album is street and is so aggressive that just listening to Styles spit, and not... I've never sold drugs, I've never done none of that, right? But it's something about listening to his frustration calms me down. Hmm. It's just one of those albums that I go to every time. But anyway, I'm just saying that it's a different game. Lil Yachty, that's one artist that I can't give him a pass for. Sorry.
Yeah, wait a second. But at one time, Lil Yachty was one of the hottest dudes out when it came to this hip hop shit.
Yeah. He definitely had a moment. And actually, just to bounce back to something that DJ Tito said, just about listening to music to the feeling that definitely goes into it too, where like how the sound kind of changes, like us, everybody's generation has a particular sound that they gravitate towards because it links to memories of what they grew up with. So that definitely factors, and every generation wants to stand out from the one prior to it.
And another thing I'm going to go out and say, so look at New York, right? How long has New York been, besides Jay-Z, how long has New York been dormant in hip-hop? Probably for over 10 years, if not longer.
For a while. It's starting to come back a little bit, though.
But wait, I'm going to tell you why.
Why is that? So,
and the South has had its run, right? You know what brought... I'm not going to say... Because I don't think New York is fully back. But you know why New York is a little bit considered more relevant? And I'm talking mainstream-wise, right?
Okay.
New York adopted the Chicago drill sound.
Yep.
Really?
So, and right? Also the UK grime sound too. They kind of blended it.
Okay. If you are a young rapper and you're spitting drill and you have a good producer, you're gonna make some noise because that's what's in right now. I don't know how much drill will be around. But New York had to change because remember, we've always been known for the hardest beats. We was always super lyrical, super nice, right?
Yeah.
Think about all the great New York rappers right now. I mean, I can't name too many who are lyrical. If you want to count maybe Benny the Butcher and the movement that they're doing out in Buffalo, right? But as far as New York City, I mean, who can you really say? And I'm not talking about Nas. I'm talking about from the young generation.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's pretty much drill music right now.
Yeah. Drill took over. Pop Smoke helped push it to the forefront too in the New York.
Shout out to Chief Keef. Well, and you guys got to remember, although he got locked up, Bobby Shmurda had a lot to do with that in his whole GS9 clique.
You know what's a shame is that I have no idea what this drill music shit is, man.
But you know what though? But you know what? It's not something that you would listen. I wouldn't even send it to you because I know even if you gave it a chance, it's not. That's in, you know what I mean? It's not in your realm at all. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that, you know?
Okay.
It's a trap sound with a different swing, and usually the music is a little bit dark.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the best way to...
And the gang culture has influenced that in New York because now we have gangster disciples in New York. So basically, drill music, and Danny could tell you, is Crips talking about how they're going to kill gangster disciples and gangster disciples talking about how they're going to kill Crips and Bloods as well.
Yep.
So it's crazy. It's adopted the whole Chicago mentality.
Drill is also very aggressive. So just
super aggressive.
Yeah.
Okay, fellas. Well, why don't we get to what we're here for this week, at least. We're going to be doing our own personal little review of an album that came recommended. Okay. We're going to be doing this whenever we come on here. We're going to be doing stuff. We're going to be maybe rating music, talking about some sports when we get a chance to talk about it, maybe some social issues, social commentary, pop culture, all that stuff. Right now, we're going to do it with the music thing right now. And the album that was nominated for us to discuss was Detroit 2 by Big Sean. All right? So why don't y'all tell me what y'all feel about that Big Sean album? Okay, we kind of lost these dudes. I don't know if it's my connection, but, you know, let's, okay, you guys are back?
Yep.
There you go. Y'all gotta get better Wi-Fi.
No, that's you, brother.
Nah,
yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, you're the only one freezing up, B.
Oh, that's messed up.
Look, man, pixelated.
That's messed up. I'm gonna have to, these kids out here doing some shit on my fucking Wi-Fi. I gotta fucking do something. Anyways, what I was saying, we're gonna be discussing the Big Sean album, Detroit 2. Okay, I finished listening it for the final time today. Okay, yes. What happened to DJ? There we go. Why you don't do that?
Y'all can't see me?
I can see you now.
Now we can.
But why don't y'all first up, Daniel? Why don't you give me your opinion? We're also gonna be rating this thing from 1 to 100. Okay, we're gonna be keeping track.
1 to 100.
1 to 100, man. We want to give room to change the ratings or be able to, you know what I'm saying? Not all albums are created equal. You might wind up listening to some shit down the road. They'd be like, well, that's better than that Big Sean album, you know? So.
Okay. I bet. So with Detroit 2, which is actually a sequel to a mixtape that Big Sean dropped out in 2012 called Detroit. So that actually helps explain a lot kind of how the songs and the album fit together, because the songs are a bit like it's not as cohesive as a traditional album. There's a lot of different types of sounds. So Big Sean goes into it with his ability and skill set. He's very lyrical. He has a very good flow and he has a very laid back style. So he implemented those styles and those techniques on a myriad of different types of tracks, whether it be like hardcore trap, boom bap rap, and everything in between as well. Some of the R&B tracks as well. So his voice fit pretty well on there. There was a lot of good production on there. The production on there was fire. Hit-Boy did a lot of the production, as well as Boy Wonder. No ID was on a track. Kool & Dre was on a track as well. DJ Mustard. So just all the different types of producers help you know, really make this top tier quality music.
I actually had trouble finding the info for like the production on it. Like I could see who wrote on the get info portion on iTunes. I couldn't find who the producers were.
Oh, I pulled it up over here on Google. So it's on the Detroit Wiki page.
Okay,
so it has all that info on there.
Yeah, because I definitely want to keep track of who's producing the music and how it influences each artist. I liked it. The one thing I'm not a fan of his flow, okay, but his lyrical content, it's very simple, yet it gets to the point of the matter of getting his point across in a song. Like
definitely.
Like he didn't have too many songs where he was rapping about bullshit. Like there was like a story behind that was personal to him for almost every single track. I was digging on that, man.
Definitely. I think mental health was a big theme of this particular album. So
yes,
he talks about that on several songs.
Karma and positivity, about staying away from negative shit here. Mm-hmm. Like the R&B shit, I could have stayed away from. I'm like, the album loses nothing by eliminating those tracks, if you ask me.
Well, the track he did with his super fine is his wife, right? He's married to her.
Wife or fiance, I think.
Which one? Which track is that?
She was on either two or three tracks. They go by 2088 when they do songs.
Body language.
Janae Aiko.
So okay. I didn't care too much for the song, but I mean I see why he did it. Something for the ladies or whatever. You know what I mean? But that track with with Ty Dolla $ign, I actually like that track.
Which one was that?
Ty Dolla $ign was on Body to Body as well.
Body Language.
Body Language.
Body Language. Yeah, because the hook goes Body to Body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite song on the album was Deep Reverence. So, and Danny's gonna shake his head now. So look, and I don't care what you say. So music, right? I always say this: music for me, from a lyrical perspective, is what I can connect to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not every single thing. I'm not saying I went through any of that, but there's certain things that he said in that song that just, like, you ever heard a rapper spit some shit and it's just, you just feel that pause, you feel it in your soul. It's like, mm-hmm. It's like, damn, like I felt that. Like I didn't go through that, but damn, like shit, yeah, that should have been
real. Of course.
That verse that he spit in Deep Reverence.
Yeah.
I mean, he talked about losing a baby with his fiance. He talked about having anxiety and not knowing how to deal with it. He talked about having, you know, riding around with a gun in the car, just aimed, like, he mm-hmm. just talked about a lot of his struggles. And I want you to do is to go back, because I know Danny has listened to it a few times. I want you to go back and dissect that. Just listen to that. Bro, listen to the bars in that song, bro. Like he
absolutely all the bars connect. He's telling a concise story on there, just talking about his feelings and his state of mind. He also brought up squashing the misunderstanding that he had with Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
So he's talking about, like, so there's definitely an evolution and kind of a bit of a catharsis, like a release, as he's talking about everything that was going on, and he did it in a way where he implemented, I think, at least three or four different flows on that whole entire thing. So there was a lot of versatility to it.
Yep.
Yeah. You were talking
about that. And very few artists can pull that off.
So I think the album overall, so Deep Reverence is what really got me wanting to listen to it. I've always been a fan of his. The album overall, for it to have 20 tracks, there's probably about 6 to 7 songs on it that I can say I would bump on the regular. Some of the songs is hit or miss for me.
Yeah.
But I would say from an overall project perspective, I think he did a good job. I've always felt that he is one of the most slept on MCs. Like, there's something about his, and I know you say you're not really a fan of his flow, but there's something about his flow that I find unique, and his wordplay. I think he's very, very talented, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he gets the shine or respect that, or you know, the just due that he should get.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he definitely had the good wordplay, though. I mean, like
No.
Go ahead.
So you said from 1 to 100?
1 to 100, yeah.
Yeah. I'll give it a 70.
70?
Yeah. I'll say
that's equivalent to a 7 on a 1 to 10 scale for me. Mm-hmm.
I would give it a 75. To me, it sounds like a very well polished, well done mixtape. That's kind of how I interpret it.
Well, you say mixtape. Is that a negative aspect to this album?
Well. Mixtapes and albums are different. Different albums things. Are generally more like cohesive, typically, generally, and mixtapes are there's more like experimentation and more of a variety of different types of sounds. So, a mixtape, I kind of take it as it could be a little bit rougher from a quality standpoint, or it could just be I'm just trying different things. So I think there were a couple of tracks like that on this album.
I would give it a 75 because it definitely exceeded all type of expectations that I have for this dude. As much as I wasn't a fan of his lyrics, not of his lyrics, but of his flow, the back and forth style, simplistic flow that he had, there was a lot of times where he was completely in the pocket with the flow of the song. It was like, but there were other tracks that I felt had no business even being on this album. That Lithuania that he did with
Travis Scott.
With Travis Scott. Right now, I don't think I've ever listened to a Travis Scott. This is the first time I've listened to a Travis Scott spit a verse. And that makes me just not want to buy his hamburgers at whatever freaking fast food place that he's going to go. You know what I'm saying? Maybe I got to review a Travis Scott album in the future.
But that goes to my point. That's one of those rappers, right? Mm-hmm. That I don't put that label on because Travis Scott is really not a rapper like that. He's more of a producer. Mm-hmm. He's been a part of, and Danny would know off the top more than I would, but he's produced for so many people, right? And he's been in the background for so many artists that you would never think.
Yep, you know? Like he did a lot of work with Kanye, like back in 2012, like around that time, like a lot of stuff with Kanye.
Yeah,
and he's not one where you listen to him for the lyrics. You kind of listen to him more for like the energy and the vibe.
Yeah.
That's the appeal with Travis Scott.
Well, the one thing I also want to give credit to this, I don't know if you want to give credit to what I noticed, is that there really wasn't any music that made me say, all right, when I hear this shit in the club, I'm going to go run out to the dance floor. You know what I mean? But I think that was good because you have to focus on his lyricism. The music never overshadowed what he was saying. Not once, not one time, not ever. The best track that I like sonically for me, along with lyrically, was Wolves with Post Malone, believe it or not. Because that's another...
Yeah, Wolves was dope.
Wolves, it was a hot track, you know? A lot of it is personal stuff. A lot of it is keeping negativity, and I'm speaking as the album as a whole. Talking about karma, keeping negativity away from you, making sure you keep positive things in your life. You keep... Be grateful for what you have, you know?
Yeah.
You know, don't go chasing stuff that you think you need, realizing that, and I guess, which was the song was that? Was it Full Circle? I might have been Full Circle. It might have been Deep Reference. I don't know which one it was, but, you know, you go chasing all these things. You got this, you got that. And when you realize that all you have was right here. So there was once, there was, and I'm paraphrasing, unfortunately, because I didn't write the lyrics down, but he said, if you could go out and you could, you know, in your spare time and you like rapping, you do like doing your thing, and you know, nobody, as long as you like doing what you're doing, put it forth, man. And, you know, and all the other stuff is just gravy. If you make money off of doing something that you love, that's just gravy. You know what I'm saying? Now you could just say that you don't have to work for a living. You know what I mean? But that's the kind of message he was putting out. I like the message that he put out. And I would definitely cop another one of these dudes' albums to listen to. I have not. I won't rule that dude out.
He has a pretty good catalog too. That was an album he dropped in 2015. I forgot the name of it, but that one to me is my favorite Big Sean album. And that sounds like an album, right? Like it's really cohesive.
Yeah, like he had the compilation track that he had with a whole bunch of these dudes. It was called Friday Night Cypher. There was a couple of people on it that we want to give credit to, like Cash Doll, she was good. I didn't like T Grizzly, Cash Kid, Bad Flow, that dude named Payroll, he was dope. Let me see, this dude named Bobby James, he was good, but he kept on having to get punched in constantly. I wasn't really a fan of that. This dude Drago, good with the lyrics, and he needs a better flow. Royce the 5'9" was the best on the whole track, and Eminem, who had the longest bars on there for whatever reason, took away from the other people on the track. But not Eminem's best work, but you know, since I'm an Eminem fan, you know, we'll give it to him.
So the thing about Detroit rappers, and I know you probably don't know a whole heck of a lot of them besides really Big Sean, they have a I will call it a unique flow, right?
Yeah.
Like even not to like get off track with Big Sean, but even like the T Grizzly, I don't think he sucks, but there's something about his wordplay that you got to get used to. It's like I don't know. It's like Detroit has its own style. That's probably why you didn't gravitate towards that cap. But he's that dude in Detroit, you know. So yeah.
Okay. All right. But listen, I'm it's a learning process for me. Okay. So 70 and 275s. Let's see what that averages out to amongst the three of us.
73. 72 and a half, something like that.
72 point something.
Yes, 72.
Three. Oh, wait a second. That's not right.
27.
Something like that.
Divided by. Okay, I'm not even getting the right numbers here.
Times two. This guy.
Plus 70. All right. Divided by three, and we got a 73.33. Oh, so the Big Sean Detroit 2 album gets a 73.33. Now, understand, fellas, that in the future, if you want to change your rating because maybe you come up with better info, or you might hear another album that winds up being whatever rating you have now, and you're like, well, this is not better. This is better than a Big Sean album. You might have to bring down your rating on this particular Detroit 2 album.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
True. And by the way, I have an album that I kind of want to nominate, I guess, for a review next, which I think will be a good like parallel. Yeah, with the Big Sean album, Benny the Butcher, Burden of Proof. I think that I'm not gonna go too into depth with how I feel about that album, but I will say that it's definitely good to look at that and then compare it to Big Sean's album, and you kind of like really see the differences.
Okay, and we could do the Rhymes as our third.
Oh, you want to do Busta Rhymes? Oh, the one that he's coming out with, or just came out with?
Not already.
Just came. Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna do so it's Busta Rhymes.
No, Benny the Butcher,
Busta Rhymes, and I guess I should nominate one as well, shouldn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I wasn't expecting this. The pressure's on. The pressure's definitely on, fellas.
Well, you don't have to do it right now.
No, I'm gonna do it right now because I'm gonna force you cats to listen to some shit that you probably have never fucked with before.
Make sure it's on iTunes.
I'll make sure it's on iTunes. So the album that I'm going to nominate, Immortal Technique.
Okay.
And we're going to be reviewing his first album, which is, let me see. I believe it's called Revolutionary Volume 1. Revolutionary Volume 1 by Immortal Technique.
Danny's breathing a sigh of relief because he thought you were going to nominate the last Public Enemy album.
Oh, that one's coming too, because there's like, yo, just interest of full disclosure, my nephew doesn't like, can't stand Chuck D. Well, let me rephrase that. He doesn't like Chuck D's flow at all. He says that Chuck D is not doing nothing but giving a speech over music.
Yep.
Let me tell you.
Now, lyrically, he's fire.
I don't hate him, but he's
not from your generation. But hold on a second. You mean to tell me you could have compared the voice? Now let's take away the flow. You gonna compare the voice of Chuck D? Compare Chuck D's voice with all due respect, Big Sean's soft spoken approach. You gonna pay attention when Chuck D speaks.
It's a different style, though.
No, of course it's a different style.
Definitely, oh, you know, definitely a different
from
style.
From a fan standpoint?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I would say like rappers nowadays, they don't really shout as much like on the mic. It's more subdued.
One of my favorite Public Enemy songs is Shut 'Em Down, the Pete Rock remix. That beat And even Chuck D on there, fire.
Yeah, we might have to find ourselves actually reviewing some of these producers that are coming out today. Or just in general, some of these producers that have created some of the iconic music, man. And may I think maybe they might deserve a little bit more credit than, you know, the hip-hop industry and fans in general have given them. But we'll figure out a way to address that in the future.
Well, definitely the beat for Fight the Power. And as soon as I hear it, like, it just takes me to my childhood instantly.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Just remembering that song.
I remember you going, Fight the Power! Fight the Power!
Fight the Power and me.
Fight the power, yeah, fight the power in me. And you also used to do the go hammer, go hammer, go hammer.
Oh, man.
All right, fellas, there we have it. This is the first episode of the Dwizzle Nation podcast with my co-host, DJ Tito, D. Meddy. Like I said, we're not gonna be strictly restricted to music. We're going to be doing a whole bunch of other things, but music is going to draw us in. We are not going to talk politics up in here. However, we will talk issues, okay? That doesn't confine us to any political party. I know I own a shotgun. My nephew out in Houston has a licensed firearm as well. You know,
he has two.
So yeah, we don't do the politics thing. We don't necessarily subscribe to any particular party, but we definitely do subscribe to the issues that affect us going on today. And it's not necessarily a black and white issue. It's not necessarily, and I mean shades, not race. It's not necessarily a Republican Democrat issue, or conservative or liberal. Okay, so we'll be addressing those in the future as well. So. At this time, let's sign off on the podcast. If you guys want to continue for the after party, after the fucking recording goes off, we can keep it popping. But right now, that's a wrap for the first episodes of the Dwizzle Nation podcast, people. We out!